Well, I have to tell you kind of the journey we've been on for 8 years now. A journey of discovery, a journey of understanding of how to best do church. And we've gone through a host of changes. We've gone from one service to two, back to one, with no Sunday school, with Sunday school, and now we're back to one with Sunday school again, and we've gone through a change of identification with a denomination to no longer part of a denomination. We're an independent church. We've gone through a change of naming ourselves to identify ourselves from once for a long, well, over 100 years, we were the Federated Church, a yoke of Congregational and Quaker, if you will, and then our history as a Congregational Church is very short, only about 10 years or so, as far as the life of this body of believers, and then now we're in a name change and also a leadership change as far as how we do government and understanding of biblical principles concerning elders and deacons and so forth. So we've experienced a host of change. And all the while, we're changing, our community's changing. Many of you who have lived here for over 20 years probably have seen your neighbors come and go several times. Irene, for instance, can tell you every family that has lived next door since she has owned her home there on Hodgson Road. Hodgson, yeah. I always get those backwards. It's Hodgson Road. And she knows where they've gone and what they've done and all that. And so she's seen a host of change. I imagine if you take the time to talk with her, she'll tell you about her first television. She could probably tell you about their first telephone on the farm as well down in Naugatuck, Connecticut, actually Oxford, Connecticut. A host of change has taken place in her lifetime. And just thinking about our own, I mean, just think back. Do you remember when a cell phone looked like your home phone? Okay, remember that? I mean, you couldn't put it in your pocket. You had to have a cart to carry it, or it was a bag phone. Okay, I had an elder in the first church I served. I started petitioning my wife at that point. And he said, "Ah, Richard's got a bag phone, Beck. You know how easy it would be if I had a bag phone, you know, to be connected with everybody." And she said, "No." And 10 years later, actually. Yeah, it's, well, no, 20 years later, it's like we can't live without them, you know? Do you remember the time when you, well, I said this verbally out loud, "I am never going to own a computer." Okay? I was a seminary student at the time, and I said, "No way on earth. My typewriter works perfectly. Yeah, I have to use a lot of whiteout. It works perfectly." I got halfway through seminary with a typewriter. And then someone gave me a computer. It was a toy computer, but by that time, I mean, it was an Atom. Do you remember the Atom? You bought it at, where'd you buy it? Toys R Us. You bought it at Toys R Us. And I tell you, the second half of my seminary career, it was like, what? This is awesome. You know? And one of those blessings, I guess. But now today, I've got a library full of books, and I very rarely look at the books anymore because most of the stuff I use for study tools are on my computer, and I can't get away without using my computer. Lots of changes, lots of things has come and changed, but yet in our church, the message has been constant. We have been faithful to the Word. We have desired and longed after the good news of Jesus Christ and to follow after the principles and the practices outlined in God's Word for us. Our methods have adapted to the world in which we live. If you remember back in 2004. 2004, we had a projector over here on the organ. Remember that? And we only had it for a test drive. Okay, we borrowed it from the Milford Public Schools, and we used it for a weekend for, I can't remember specifically, and we projected it over here on the side wall, and it was like, you know, it was like the impact I got back was mixed emotions. As, nah, let's not do that. Let's not go that way, okay? And then all of a sudden, after our 40 days of purpose, it said, wow, even showing a projected seminar engaged the people. I mean, we had a packed house that day, and Rick Warren was the preacher and teacher that night, and everybody was engaged. They laughed at his jokes like he was really here. And it was like, wow, this is something. And then, you know what happened to us when we started projecting words on the wall? All of a sudden, we started singing like you're supposed to sing. Okay? Many of us sing like this, all right? But when you project the words on the wall, you have to go like this. And if you've ever thought about your whole physical dynamic, if you sing in the shower, do you sing into your chest? No. You sing out loud in the shower, right? So that the kids can hear you. And when the friends are over, you sing even louder so that they're embarrassed, type of thing. But when we get our head up out of the music and just glance or not even have to glance, we became a singing church. All of a sudden, our ability to unify our hearts around music changed because we just lifted our heads. And Scripture calls us time and time again to lift up our heads unto the Lord, to lift up our gaze and observe Him. Change, methods, adapting. This morning in our text, I want to help us to understand what's transpiring in Isaiah 52. It's part of a passage of hope. It's a part of a passage of understanding concerning the things of the kingdom and the things of the provision that God is going to provide for salvation under the guise of the suffering servant, that Jesus is going to lay down His life for us. And there's hope and a message, an anticipated message for Zion, for Jerusalem, for God's people to be restored, and a message of hope. And specifically, we're going to look at verse 7, but 7 through 10 helps us to understand that there's a messenger, and that messenger brings good news. There's watchmen anticipating the coming of that good news. And then there's the event, and the event that they're proclaiming and anticipating is the coming of the Lord Himself, coming to Zion, coming to Jerusalem, coming to God's people. But I want to look specifically at verse 7. We're going to break that down into three parts, as it is the habit of any good preacher. There's always three points. I don't know. I never looked at the psychology of that. Never was taught that, as to a sermon always having good three points. But maybe that's something that we can only remember three. You go to four, it's like, oh, I forgot, you know. To be honest with you, I forget sometimes just the three. And when I got to prayer time on Friday morning, we were talking about Romans chapter 5, and actually chapter 6 and verse 4, 3 that we were in. And I said, wait, wait a minute, that will come to me. So I took a moment to, yeah, okay. The continued reprimand and the reality of our baptism and the result of our baptism, the identification into Christ's death, is what we focused upon. But the reprimand was continuing in the midst of that to help us. And so I remembered the three points, and it was like, praise God, thank you. I didn't embarrass myself in front of my comrades here. But this morning, we're going to look at three things. And the first part of this Sunday is Information Demonstration Sunday. We're not going tech on you, okay? Please don't think that we're becoming high-tech, because if we're going to become high-tech, I'd buy you all an iPad or an iPhone or an iPod Touch and just put it in the pew and you can just follow along that way, okay? And believe me, there are churches that are doing that. There are churches that have Twitter going on live during the service, and so anybody in the service can be commenting on the message, which can be a good thing or a bad thing. But I guess it's a barometer for the preacher to know if people are engaged. If they're twittering about the message, he can say, oh, I see you have a question about that. And he addresses that particular question in the midst of the service. I think that's a little too random for us, a little too high tech, I guess, beyond us in a sense. But this morning, let's look at verse 7. It says this, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. So the first thing we want to note is that you don't have notes. Did you notice that? And the challenge that processed through my heart and mind is this. If you are taking a class and you're paying $575 a credit hour, do you expect this college to pay and bring a notebook for you? No, it doesn't. It doesn't even provide paper for you. You as a student are responsible to bring your own notebook, correct? You as a student are responsible to follow through on taking notes, whether you're going to take it with a tape recorder or you're going to just sit and not take any notes. You're going to take notes at home because what I'm saying is going to be on the internet before you go home today. Okay? That's how quick it is. That's how faithful Porter is at getting that up there. All right? Before you step forward through the threshold of your door, you can go right to your computer and hear today's message. All right? Now, I'm not saying that you should go home right now. Okay, please don't do that. But one of the things that we're trying to, as far as being responsible fiscally and environmentally, the less paper we use, the better our lives are. And if you notice downstairs, next to the black filing cabinet, Debbie has put a nice box. It's plastic. That's our recyclables. Okay? Okay, so we have a recycle going on. If you go to the middle school and the high school and the elementary school, paper doesn't just get thrown away. It gets recycled. All right? You're always recycling the product. But one thing that I will say that's available to you is that we have a few of these left. It's called the Spiritual Growth Journal, and I would encourage you to pick one up. It has opportunity within this to have a daily journal for quiet time, Bible study time, prayer time, and also at the back there is a sermon note component. And so even though you won't get a copy, a paper piece of paper to fill in the blank, the bullets are going to be on here. And the bullet is this. The first bullet is the method of communication. What is the method of communication that is being displayed here in Isaiah 52 and verse 7? The method is this. It's elating in a runner, someone who is bringing the good news, who is a messenger coming forth to Zion to proclaim to them good tidings, to proclaim to them the good news, to proclaim to them the salvation and the peace that is theirs in the Messiah. And so Isaiah describes it this way. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet. Now, we often take this poetic thing and say, oh, wow, they must have been the originator of the good feet mechanics or Dr. Scholes. We're not talking about that, okay? We're not talking about how good your feet look, okay? The picture is the anticipated coming of the message that their fleet of foot running across the mountain range as if on wings of eagles, as if their feet are flying across, and there's this picture, this long-distance runner bringing good news. And the method of communication is verbal. That's the method. He's not bringing a scroll. He's not bringing a PDF file. He's not bringing a flash drive, a thumb drive that's 16 gigs and it has 8 gig of material on it for you to have. Okay? He's bringing a verbal message. And the method of communication here is that this runner is going from place to place, bringing forth the message of God, bringing forth the message of the good news of salvation that God is going to provide. It's a verbal tradition, a verbal type of communication. Now, if you are in the quote-unquote technological world, oftentimes we will put all our weight, well, I didn't get an email about that. And we dismissed the verbal. Well, we left a message on your answer machine and someone was supposed to tell you. Oh, I never got the message. Okay? And so we dismissed certain components of our lives because we didn't get it the way we wanted it. All right? So we have to be in the place where, are we looking upon the giver of the good news? Are we looking upon the message and the method of that communication with anticipation in such a way that we consider that method, that means, that message, how beautiful it is? You brought us good news. You brought this anticipated blessing of God, that expected blessing of God. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, at that time in history, as Isaiah is unfolding it, the means in which, the method in which the message was given was through verbal communication. There was diligence in the telling of the story. There was diligence in the telling of the message. As time goes on, we begin to realize that that verbal message is now written down. And there's due diligence by the scribes to make sure the message is the same in every copy that is made. Whether it's the Bible or some other historical document, due diligence was given in the written message, the written mode of communication. Then we see the birth of the printed type, of cutting large opportunities for, I can't remember what you're going to call them, large plates to print. And then that transformed into movable type. And thankfully for Gutenberg and the printing of his Bible, the movable type press makes a difference in the world in which we live. Now, you don't have to make one big piece. You can put all these letters together to print something. And then it moves from that to high-speed printing. And then all of a sudden, we change from, because you and I are in that world where a lot of us are kind of torn, right? How many of us know more about history because we watched it on TV than we read it in a book? Okay? We watch more of it on TV than read it in a book. In 1976, a movie called JAWS came out. Now, that's not historical, okay? But it proves my point. This movie came out, and I went to see it, and it was, wow, powerful. Okay, you watch it today, and it's like, huh, look at that hokey-looking thing, you know? The monster doesn't even look like it's real. But back in 1970, whatever it was real. I saw the movie, went on vacation that summer. The book was on the shelf in the cottage we were staying in. Oh, this is cool. And now I'm going to see a little more detail. Start reading the book. Now, that book's that thick. And as a young person, that's too thick. I read the first chapter. I read this last chapter. And I was disappointed. Because in the book, the monster, the shark, doesn't blow up. And it was so anticlimactic. You know, after seeing the movie, it was like, wow, this is cool. He missed again. We got one shot left and doo-doom, 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 ba-boom, right? But in the book, he's swimming. And the shark comes up to him as if he's going to engulf him and just touches his thigh and dies. And he swims to shore. And it was like, what a bummer, you know? But see, there's the difference. Many of us have taken and engulfed in our world an understanding of what the world is like based upon what the boob tube tells us, or what the cinema tells us, or now Hulu, and whatever it might be, or cable, all right? And we fail to realize that there's something to read. There's something to digest beyond just seeing it on the great film, right? So when we consider the opportunities that are before us concerning the method of communication, it's vast. It's not just printed, it's visual, it's electronic, okay? For instance, how many of you have your Bible on your phone? Did you know 1. Do you know you can have your Bible on your phone? Easy. If you have a PDA type or a smartphone type of thing, you can have 10, 20 Bibles on your phone. Easily accessible. Okay? We're just caught with the, wow, this takes pictures. But your phone, even the most simple phone, can have the Bible on your phone. All right? I was sitting at a retreat type setting a couple summers ago, and someone came by, oh, see, you're texting, aren't you? I said, no, I'm doing my daily devotions. Because I can get daily bread on the phone. Wow. Methods, means of communication, method are vast. And so when we think of that, our methods are changing a little bit here this morning. We've talked a little bit about that, okay? One of the methods is your bulletin is now in plastic. Because what we found is we do the same thing over and over and over again. Why do we need to print a copy for you to know what we're going to do, what we did last week and the week before? Okay? So a method for us to be faithful stewards is to provide an outline for you in the pew, and the specific details will be projected. All right? Second thing, as I've already noted, we have a journal available if you'd like one of those, but we really encourage you to take notes. And in the last hymn we sang about a sword. What is the sword in that hymn? It's what? It's the Word, okay? It's this book. And one of the things that I would highly encourage you to do is that this book, bring it. Okay? If you go into middle school, and I'd encourage you to do this, outside of the rooms, many of the classrooms, there's a poster, and it says classroom expectations. When you come to class, you're expected to have a pencil. When you come to class, you're expected to have your notebook or your agenda. When you come to class, you're supposed to have your text. Okay? When you come to church, you have to come with a heart to worship. When you come to church, if you want to take notes, come prepared for that. But not only come with a heart for worship, but you need to bring your sword. Okay? And be faithful in bringing your sword. I'll be honest with you. There was a time, not too far ago, that I wanted to take every pew Bible out of the pews. Okay? Because what good are they? You're not faithful in the Word if you're not bringing it. Okay? And if you notice, we don't project the words for the Scripture anymore on the wall. Why? You got to read it. You got lazy because you're not bringing the sword. And my dad has a sword at home. He doesn't use it. It's ornamental. But when you pull it out of its scabbard, it's all rusty because it doesn't get used. His other sword, this book, is dusty because they don't take it out of its scabbard. It doesn't get used. And so the method of communication is right before you. Hey, I gave my study Bible to Mrs. Hathaway to have it rebound, okay? And to be honest with you, that's the Bible that I would prefer to use every Sunday, but because it's fallen all over the place, you know, it's just not a good thing to carry because it just falls apart every time I open it. But that's the Bible I've done most of my study in. And so I know where the text is. I'm not good at memorization. But if you ask me to think about something concerning a thought or a concept from Scripture, I can look it up in that Bible because I know if it's on the right, on the top, or the bottom, or the left, or the inside. I can look it up in that Bible. But when I go to use this Bible, it's all messed up. It's not the same way. All right? And so that's why it's important to use your Bible, to take your Bible to church, to bring it and be familiar with it, okay? Because if we're not going to follow the directions in the book when we come to worship, we're not going to follow the directions in the book come Monday morning. Okay? So take the methods that are available to you. So we got a bulletin in the pew. Everything to deal with the methods of communication. Can we shift to our website, please? Okay, here we go. This is our another means of communication, another method for you to be aware of what God is doing in our midst. Here, everything to do with our weekly stuff is on the right, Sunday morning. You can scroll that down a little bit. On the left here in the bottom is all upcoming events. Latest sermons are there as well as on a sermon page. On our right here, there's a statement on our Facebook. You know, the church has a Facebook. If you don't have a Facebook, I can understand if you don't want to be socially involved that way. I understand those principles. But what I've found is by my engaging the world in which I live with God's Word, I've been able to speak into people's lives that I didn't have the opportunity to do. All right? People know that if they sign up for a friend, to be a friend, when I post something, it's usually Scripture. And I'm getting Scripture into computers in the town of where mainly middle school students. And I've got over 200 and something friends, and that's small. You know, some people have 15, 20,000 friends, okay? And they're all getting just friends. They're not impacting anybody's life. But I try to do that by posting Scripture. But listen, here on the right, it says, "We're Christian Church. This Sunday, January 31st, 2010, is Information Demonstration Sunday. Come and learn more about new methods of communication for our times of worship and weekly announcements." Okay, posted. And if you're a fan of We're Christian Church, that was on your page today. Actually, it was on your page last night. All right? So become a fan if you have a Facebook. Scroll up. Click on worship. Worship outlines... we need some more RAM. Outlines what we do on Sunday, but if you look on underneath the worship, there are two tabs. One is Children's Bible Fellowship. That's a page just for Children's Bible Fellowship. So if you have children involved with that, click on that. There are memory verses for each week. So if you're involved, you have a student involved in that program, you can find out what the memory verse, because oftentimes, as it is in any case with a child, you give them six pieces of paper, and where do they end up? Under the seat in the car, in the parking lot on the way out, in the driveway at home, and all that type of stuff. If you can click on worship bulletin, every week the full order of service will be posted. So if you're interested in that, you'll know. You can start planning and preparing Saturday for worship on Sunday. You know the message. You know the scripture is going to be used. You can start singing the hymns. And, you know, if you're really adventuresome, you can start learning your part for the hymn. Do you understand? You know what I mean by part? You know, whether you're a soprano, alto, tenor, or bass, okay? You can start, you know, if you've got a keyboard at home, start plinking out those notes, all right? Getting ready. And you know what will happen with our singing on Sunday? If you know your part and you sing your part, all of a sudden we're going to be the new Wear Tabernacle Choir. Okay? So, if you go under calendar, please. Under calendar, everything that's going on in the church is there. Up to date, live, opportunity free. So if you forget, okay, because we're only going to print so many paper ones, like 10. All right. Now, here's the reason why I'm using the word 10, number 10. How many of us have no access to the internet? Okay. That is awesome, Shirley. I'm so pleased that you're creatively addressing that issue. That is awesome. Okay, so it's now down to one. We had you and Irene, but she can go to the library and use it. All right? So she knows. She's engaged in the world in which she lives. She doesn't have it at home, but she knows where she can get connected. Praise God for that. Now, how many people in your world are sitting back and waiting to be connected, and the opportunities are right there before them all the time? We need to be proactive in our getting connected, okay? So the whole calendar's there, and you can scroll forward to any or back to any events that you may have missed or are anticipating. So now you can go and link this up with your Google Calendar and know what's going on as of September 1st, 2017. Okay? You're not paying attention, are you? Okay? So we also, again, I would encourage you to bring your own notebook to take notes. I tried to, because I kind of moved my office just in the last 6 months or so, there's some things that got moved and I had put them down and I can't find them. You've been there and done that? So this morning I was looking for some notebooks that I used to have for taking sermon notes from back in the dark ages, and I'd encourage you to do that. One of the things that I constantly do, I have this little black notebook made famous by whom? Do you remember who made these famous, these moleskin notebooks? You don't remember? Okay. Ernest Hemingway is one who's kind of made this type of thing. Or if you watch any Indiana Jones films, he always carries one of these to take notes on his adventures. But I go back to 2006, Congress 2006 in this particular notebook, and I go over the material that I learned from Ed Young Jr. And constantly refreshing my heart because I've got my notes right here. The last 4 years of Iron Sharpens Iron conferences, men's conferences are in this particular book in the notes I took, and I can go back and look over that. And then there's a section towards the back where I take notes concerning dreams, concerning not having dreams, but dreams concerning what things I'd like to accomplish, or I make a notation about who I need to go see to remind myself. Or one of the other things I often do in that section is write down new praise and worship songs that have touched my heart and ask the Lord to bring to my remembrance to look them up on the internet and get the music for them. Okay, so resources, method of communication is vastly before us. One final piece of information that I need to share with you is that this... where did it go? Disappeared. The outline for the morning service, we're going to email it to you as well. So you're going to get the service on Friday, and then you can decide, oh, I'm not going to come home. He's speaking on this, and you know, I'm going to stay home. And don't do that. Just use that as a tool to prepare yourself for worship so that you might glorify God, so that you are prepared in advance even greater than you are now, okay? The other item is that our prayer lives are significantly important. If you go back to this website and click on prayer, and many of you have used this, and I'm thankful for that, but a prayer request can be submitted by just putting your name, your email address, and what the prayer is, and then that will be forwarded to everyone on the prayer chain. Okay? So another tool for us to stay engaged through prayer, and to be used of God. And the other tool that is available, and sadly to say that this is on paper, I'm sorry, but this is our prayer meeting outline for Thursday night. And this is updated every week. We make about 10 copies of this, and it's on the table out back because we vary from 3 to 15 on a Thursday night, depending upon God's blessing and prompting people to come and pray. But this is our outline, and actually by the time we're done that particular night, there's not a white piece space on this paper. There is a host of other things because of that opportunity that takes place, that we get emails for prayer requests, and those get added, and then prayer requests are shared that night. And one of the things that you could be praying for us about on Thursday nights is that the first thing we do after we have our little chit-chat and how we doing and what's life been like and all that, is that we pray first before we pray. We pray first to ask God to give us direction concerning what we should pray about. And so we spend some time in prayer, opening prayer, to ask Him to give us insight and understanding as to what we should pray about so that we are doing what He would want us to do, that we're praying in accordance to His will. Okay, so you can be praying for us about that. But all these are tools, all these are opportunities, methods of communicating to one another how we are connected, the information we need to stay connected, and to be aware so that that communication of the good news can be clear. Okay, now, I'm going to say this, that the person who is the most unconnected technologically is often the most connected person in our church. Did you know that? Okay. Irene doesn't have a computer, doesn't have email, doesn't receive a prayer request at all, on email at all. Okay. And yet, she's aware of stuff before I even know about it. Primarily because, well, if phones could melt, hers would melt. Because she takes the technology she has and uses it for God's glory. So if the person who, as far as most of our community is concerned, at 91 years old, shouldn't be as busy as she is, can be that engaged, and we're using technology and we're not as engaged, shame on us. Okay? And I say that out of a fondness and respect to her, that she is always concerned about everything that's going on here and will ask and call and call and call until she gets the answer. All right? She gives it due diligence to make sure her method of communication is being satisfied. All right? And so, praise God for that. So, the second point this morning is this. The method of communication, the second point is the message communicated. What is the message communicated? This beautiful messenger, as if carried along by wings of eagles, as if carried along in this miraculous way to bring this good news, is that the message brought is good news and good tidings. Good news and good tidings. If you look in chapter Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who bring good tidings. So it encourages me to realize that the message that needs to be communicated about the kingdom of God, I'm not going to sit around and wait for people to come to me about it. I'm going to go to them. That's why, to be honest with you, I have more unbelieving friends than I do Christian friends. I spend more time with unbelieving people than with believers. Okay? And I think that's a challenge for all of us. It was a challenge for me. We talked this morning in Sunday school about why Christians suffer, and one of the things is that we learn maturity, that we mature because of our suffering. And God took us from a church of about 100, 120 people on Sunday morning to a church of 6. And then brought us back to a church of 100, 120. But yet, I look at that time in Glen, New Hampshire, in the small, tiny Baptist church, as the most significant ministry time for learning to hear God's voice concerning involvement in the community. Because prior to that, yeah, I was involved in a host of things, awesome things. God was blessing, as far as international ministry opportunities to go to Nigeria, international ministry opportunities to go to Russia, international ministry opportunities here in the States by being chairman of an executive committee for an international ministry, and then being asked to be vice president of a union of some 30 Russian Baptist churches. God was blessing. And yeah, I wasn't even 30 yet when all that was taking place. But what it did is hemmed me in to a place where I didn't see my outside world. I was consumed with doing church stuff. And God took me out of the church stuff and put me in Glen and said, you have to feed your family. And preaching every Sunday is only going to give you $200. And that's it. So I had to get a job. I was a carpenter. I was a hardware store man, clerk. Time and time again, God opened doors of opportunity to do things outside the home and ministering to people. And when we left, I got called back twice to do funerals for people who never went to my church, but I was their pastor because I met them in the nuts and bolts aisle in the hardware store. Engaged in our world. So whenever you're out in the highways and byways of life, remember that you're to bring the good news to them. Don't wait for them to say, hey, you're a Christian, tell me about Jesus. It doesn't happen that way, does it? No. Hey, we got to go to them and say, hey, you're not a believer. I can tell by your behavior and your language. Therefore, I need to tell you the good news, the glad tidings, and I need to publish it to you. I need to proclaim it to you. That you can have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That you can be saved from your sin through faith in Jesus Christ. It just happened yesterday that a good friend of mine who's a non-believer, and we're talking, you know, we're talking about a baseball coaches association meeting coming up next Sunday or the Sunday after. And I'm saying, I can't believe they put it on Sunday. Why do they do that on Sunday? I can't go. The athletic director told me about that. He says, Bill, you need to realize that you're probably the only one in the baseball association who cares that it's on Sunday. And then I began to realize, oh yeah, I forgot the world in which we live. So the conversation went on about this, and the friend is saying, yeah, but he prays for me. And I'm praying for him. He knows I'm praying for him. And he said, yeah, I go to church. And I said, yeah, you've been to my church 3 times. And he said, yeah, I have. And I said, it hasn't fallen over yet, has it? And he said, no. He said, he's been here for 3 different funerals. And I said, you know what would be awesome? Is if you came on a Sunday sometime. And all of a sudden, he's backing up. Whoa, what do you mean? But see, there's an opportunity for me to continue. And I'm saying this before another gentleman who's older than I and another gentleman who's way younger than I. And I'm giving them the opportunity with an open invitation to come and worship. And I continue to build that relationship and continue to build that relationship until one day they profess faith in Jesus Christ, engaging my world with the good news, the message communicated, that it's brought good news, good tidings, but also it's preached or proclaimed or heralded. Who proclaim peace, who proclaim salvation. It's declared that God is the one who's the Savior of the world. Jesus is the one who's been sent from God to take away our sin. I need to not only bring the good news, but I need to proclaim it. I need to publish it. I need to make it publicly aware that this is true. And then the last point. If the method of communication needs to be brought forth faithfully so that it's beautiful, and we're using whatever means it takes, and the message is the same, it's that salvation is found in Jesus Christ, the motivation for that communication is this. Say to Zion, say to Jerusalem, the representative of the people, say to the world in which we live, your God reigns. Cry it out. It's a glad cry. It's a cry of victory of God. It is at hand that His glory is going to be shown forth. Your God reigns. So when we gather on Sunday morning, we're proclaiming to the world not only good news, because you don't know. You know, one of the things that I often do, like when you see me disappear up here, you ever see me disappear? Okay, sometimes I have to use, you know, the facilities. But other times, I go and check out the parking lot. Because oftentimes, you get a new car, and I have no idea you did. Did you know that? So I go out and see who's driving what. Not because I'm jealous or anything, but I just want to identify you. Because sometimes people wave to me on the road. I wave to whomever waves at me, whether I know them or not. But if your car's red and it's a Jeep, and I've been waving to you for the last 6 years because that's how long you've had that Jeep, and now you change the color, I'm not going to wave unless I know you got a new Jeep in the parking lot. So I'll go out and check things out. I want to be connected with you. I want to know what's going on. I want to know you got a new ride. You know? So that you don't come to me and say, Pastor Bill, you didn't wave to me. Right? I couldn't because I didn't know it was you. So we have to be engaged in each other's lives that way. But we need to be sure that when we engage the world, we need to be fully informed. So that when someone that you're working with says, hey, I'd like to go to church sometime. Can I come with you? What do you have for kids? Do you know what we have for kids? Can you communicate that? If you can't, you can be informed by checking out our website. If they say, well, do you have a choir? I like to sing. And you say, yeah, we have a choir. They sing every Sunday. Well, what night do they practice? Oh, I don't know. They could check it out and have that information so that you're fully informed, whatever it might be, to give the opportunity for someone to be engaged in a relationship with you and with us so that one day they would have the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If we're here just to worship and fail to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to the world in which we live, there's no need to worship. It has to be a whole package. It can't be one over the other. The fullness of God's glory needs to be displayed because our God reigns. Let's pray. And we're going to dismiss with this prayer. Father, we thank you for the many opportunities you give us to be actively, faithfully engaged in the ministry of your church here. Whether it's providing food for Sunday Night Live, whether it's tuning our pipes so we can sing praises to you, whether it's we participate in cutting the grass, pushing snow, cleaning windows, toilets, whatever. You've blessed us with this privilege. But Father, help us to be ever mindful that the good news of Jesus Christ is for the world in which we live, and we have a message that needs to be proclaimed. Help us to be actively engaged in such a way that our relationship with you is constantly and faithfully growing, and that we would be equipped by you, by the power of your Spirit, the ministry of your word, to tell all that we come in contact with, tell them of the hope we have in Christ, that good news, that glad tiding, that peace, that salvation in him. Motivate us, Father, for your glory, for you do reign. And it's our prayer that you would stir us each day to demonstrate the information you have written on our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray.